Please. Don't stand yet. Thank you, though. Thank you. I'll let you know when we're going to stand. Ruth chapter 4. I'm going to do it a little bit differently this evening. I'm going to set the stage of your mind for what really is an amazing truth that we're going to look at. I wish I had a better vocabulary to be able to help you with the greatness of the truth that we're going to look at. I don't. But even if I did have the greatest vocabulary there was, if I had the ability to articulate like no preacher could ever articulate, I still would lack the ability to be able to communicate the greatness of the truth that we're going to look at tonight. I want to set the stage of your mind in a unique way. I want you to listen to about a 1 minute audio clip of what really is an iconic piece of maybe American history, maybe I could term it American culture, and I want to see if you can identify what this is.
Come on.
No, stop. Do you know what this is already? Yes, you, piano player, you. Did you share with anybody else what this is? Very good. I'm very proud of you. So just act like you don't know what this is. Erase the mind. Erase the mind. It's gone? Gone. Very good. Who am I?
I have no idea.
That's very good. Go ahead and play it. Turn that up.
Small and meek. We've come to ask.
I ask.
Oh, Jupiter Cricket.
The great and powerful Oz knows why you have come. Step forward, Tin Man.
Now you're probably thinking, what in the world are we doing here tonight? Well, stick with me, and I hope to connect the dots, because what you just heard does tend to highlight a very interesting, and I could say it this way, an oxymoronic truth that we find in our passage. Now, I told you to turn to Ruth chapter 4. I fooled you. Turn the page over to 1 Samuel 3 and stand and let's read verse number 1 down through verse number 15. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before who?
Eli.
Before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass that at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." It's hard to know the proximity of where Samuel would have been sleeping versus where Eli. Obviously, it's somewhat close. You know this story that he hears God speaking to him, and he thinks it's Eli speaking to him. Verse number 5, and he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." He said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, boy. "My son, lie down again." Samuel did not yet know the Lord. No, look up here. I'm going to hit this in a minute. He's been living in the house of God for probably about 7 years now. All immersed. Everything he knows in life is all immersed in the house of God. And yet he doesn't have this intimate interaction. Doesn't know the Lord yet. It's not against the Lord. It's just he doesn't know the Lord on a personal level yet. Isn't that interesting? His whole life, 7 years immersed in the things of God and doesn't know. Now look here. God's trying to change that. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
That God wants to know you and speak your name.
Amen.
And if you know him tonight, you do so only because he sought you out.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that. And that's what God is doing here. Verse 8, Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Lay down, and it shall be that if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went, lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." It's amazing right there. But you don't know why I think it's amazing. That's amazing. That the man of God would help the people of God by giving instructions about how to navigate life, and the people of God would actually follow the instructions instead of not doing it and doing what they think is best.
Amen.
That's an amazing thing, and I'm learning the longer I pastor, man, that's a blessing when God's people do that.
Yes.
Now, this isn't in the notes here, but just feel like maybe the Holy Ghost is trying to maybe speak to someone. I don't know. I don't know any of your lives aside from my sister and my niece. But maybe there's someone here tonight God's given, been trying to give you some direction in life through your pastor. Maybe you're trying to get through a circumstance or a situation or a relationship, and he's spoken and you've disregarded that. Not that you're argumentative, but you have no intention of following it. Samuel just listened. He just did it. Hallelujah. Where'd I end up? I got lost. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." Look here, look here. I'm going to do something. Ain't nobody. I know that's bad English. Ain't nobody going to stop me. And I'm letting you know, Samuel. I'm letting you know. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." It's too late for Eli. It's too late. He reached the breaking point. Does he have forgiveness? Yes. It's too late. Be careful. God's grace is always available to forgive. Sometimes you breach the breaking point of consequences and you ain't changing it. Doesn't matter how many offerings, how much you give, how much you're going to be faithful to church from here on out. Sometimes you can reach the breaking point. I need to hurry up. Verse number 15. Samuel lay until the morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Understandable. I want to preach to you on the victory of God's voice. I already wish right now I had the vocabulary to be able to help you with the greatness of what we're going to consider over these next few moments. So we need God's help. As I'm praying out loud, would you just say, God, I want to hear your voice. Would you help me? Would you do that? As I'm praying out loud, you'd pray that silently. You ready? My great God, I come before you. I can't manufacture the power of your spirit. And I can't manufacture with, even if I was the greatest preacher, the greatest vocabulary, the greatest talent, I can't manufacture the power of you coming alive in the hearts and minds of your people. So would you do what I can't do and let your word have life and liberty, forward movement in each heart and mind and soul tonight. We'll give you the praise for how you will speak to our hearts. We ask it in Christ's name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The victory of God's voice. Are there any graduates here? Anyone that has graduated high school or college? We got one. One. That's a bummer that you're back there. Do you need him back there?
No.
Will you do me a favor? You're sure? Because I love you and I want to speak to you. I don't know you, but because God loves you, I love you. And you got your whole life in front of you like Samuel. Whole life. He's 12 years old. Would you mind just plopping a seat right here? I know that's awkward. Would you do that? Can you get by without, what's your name? Chris? Chris, come sit right up here. Please and thank you. Man, I need to give you like a Starbucks gift card or something like that. What an exciting place you're at. Graduated high school. What high school?
LA.
Huh?
American Leadership Academy.
Awesome. Your whole life ahead of you. I want to be able to address you specifically tonight as a graduate. But this message is for everyone. Are you interested in being successful in life?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to make a mark in life, like the efforts of your talent and time and energy and finances that you'll expend over the remainder of time that you have in life? Wouldn't you like all of that to contribute to truly making a mark so that not necessarily others look at your life, but then God looks at your life and says, Chris left a mark that deeply impacted not only his family, but others around him. And he's going into eternity as a successful saint and child of God. Wouldn't you like that?
Yeah.
I would like for you to have that. I want that for myself.
Amen.
But you don't have to be a graduate to have this truth be applicable to your life. Anyone who's interested in making something of your life, not just going through the motions, because life's monotonous, and that can do work on your heart and mind and soul so that you lose the vitality of your motivation and fire to want to move forward for God and do something great. If you want to do something great and be great for God in your life, you're going to have to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Samuel's one of the great heroes of the faith. He makes a position in the Hall of Faith. You know about that. And the reason why Samuel, having his whole life in front of him, from here on out, goes to become this great hero for God. You can't trace that back to his ability to preach, although I bet he knew how to preach the paint off the walls. It doesn't go back to his education, although I bet you he studied the Word of God and knew a lot about the things of God. It doesn't go to his bank account and to his education and to the people that he knew. When you take the success of his life, it all points back to where he heard God's voice, get this, and then learned how to respond to it and then move forward in life. And if you have any hope, no matter how old you are, of doing something for your life, from your life, you're going to have to know how to hear God. What worked for Samuel will work for you. Amen. You just need the voice of God. Please listen. You just need the voice of God. Doesn't matter if your whole heritage and family background is filled with divorce and drugs and chaos. That doesn't matter. God's voice is greater than all that. Those things certainly can inhibit you. But if you can just learn to be in tune with the voice of God, He'll take you from where you're at and He'll use you in great and mighty ways. But you're going to have to learn how to hear the voice of God. I want to point out three things about God's voice that you'll need to learn from Samuel in order to do something with your life. Three things. Let me say this so I don't forget. There are only really two voices to hear. This is really important, so I'm coming down here to make sure you can't avoid me. There's only two voices that you'll hear in life. Only two. One is God. Amen. One is God. If you don't learn how to hear God, by default, you only hear one other voice. Do you know whose voice that is? It's the God, little g, of this world. He's the power behind the entertainment. He's the power behind music. He's the power behind politics. Amen. You don't know how to learn. You don't learn how to listen to God. You only have one default option. Yeah. Just one. So, Chris, your potential, you don't even know. But your potential isn't because you're great, though you look like a pretty sharp kid, looks like you're talented, and you could probably beat me up and run faster than me. But your potential doesn't lie in here. You're going to have to be in tune with this voice because He's going to speak to you. He's going to try to speak to you in life. I want to be able to show you three things that we need to learn from Samuel in order to do something with our life. And this is going to seem so obvious. Point number one is this. Learn to listen to God's voice. Amen. That sounds so obvious, doesn't it? Now, just can you give me a little bit of space and time to be able to kind of help explain this. Do you know the backstory of Eli and Samuel? Let me give you just a little bit of backstory. I want to make sure everyone's on the same page. There's a couple named Elkanah and Hannah. They'd been married for quite some time, but Hannah was barren. Now, back in these days, they didn't have doctors like we have today. So if a couple was barren, you wouldn't know whether it was the man or the woman's fault. But in this case, because there was a departure from God's plan, it was obvious who was barren. It was her. Do you know how it was obvious? Yeah, say it. 'Cause why? He had two wives. And the other wife had children. Pretty easy to identify why Elkanah and Hannah can't have kids when Elkanah and what's her bucket can't have kids. It was a big deal back then if you're a woman because people associated your virtue and walk with God with your ability to have kids. And so the other woman would harass Hannah. And this this traumatized her soul. She was a godly woman. She prayed. She prayed with passion so much, you know the story, that she's in the house of God praying, and Eli thinks she is, say it for me, drunk. And she don't care. By the way, don't care what people think about your passionate plea for the Lord. Don't think. There's going to be people who get your actions and your heart and your passion off for the Lord. That's going to happen if you're going to passionately pursue the Lord. Who cares what they think? Just do what God wants you to do. She makes this commitment that, God, if you give me child, if you give me conception, then I'll give you my son or my daughter. I'll give him or her to you. And so that happens. And she weans the kid. Most commentators believe that when she turns him over to live in the temple, he would have been about 3 to 5 years of age. We don't know for sure. And then where we pick up the story in chapter number 3, he would have been about 12 years old. That means, again, 7 years of his life being immersed in the house of God, waking up in the house of God, going to bed in the house of God, eating in the house of God. Can you imagine that if you lived here all your life? Be weird. And the Bible says in verse 8 that it was 3 times that God called Samuel before he began to recognize that this is maybe God, but someone had to help him figure out that it was God. And what I'm trying to figure out is, how is it possible for Samuel, get this, who's totally immersed in the things of God, he knows about God, he knows about the ways of God, even as a 12-year-old kid, how does God speak and he thinks it's Eli? If it's the first time that he spends in the house of God, maybe understandable. Most of his life, immersed in the house of God, how does he not know? How does he think this is a human voice? Think about that. I want to give you 2 reasons why. Hearing the voice of God is easy to overlook. Y'all ready? Now, we don't know this too often anymore, this generation. It's crazy that I say that now. It means I'm older. Y'all know what a radio is? Like, and you have to tune like AM, FM station. Y'all know what that is, right? How often do you use a radio where you tune the radio, you know, and it's like until you get the right frequency, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Come on.
Yeah.
What happened when sin entered into the world is it threw off the frequency. Mm-hmm. So we're not on the same wavelength anymore with God. It's the product of being contaminated by sin. We're not on the same frequency anymore. And only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ can we then begin to learn how to align our frequency with his frequency. See, there's all kinds of radio waves going on through this building right now, and you can't hear a lick of them because you're not in tune with the frequency. Does that make sense? And God's speaking right now. Maybe that someone doesn't even recognize it. And a lot of that just because we're all messed up from sin, and we've got to learn how to tune our frequency to his spiritual frequency.
Amen.
But I don't believe that was Samuel's issue. I don't believe it was Samuel's issue. You know why I had you listen to Wizard of Oz? Who's bigger than God? You sure about that? Who has more power than God? Who's done greater things than God? Nobody. Bigger than what we can even conceive. We don't even know how big the universe is, and yet God is outside of the universe. How big is, wrap your mind around that. Good gracious. He's powerful. He's almighty. And he speaks, and we would think naturally if God speaks, it's going to be this Wizard of Oz kind of speech. I am Oz. Who are you? Because that's what we do to voices that we try to make important. I've got even this microphone that helps amplify my voice because I don't have the power to amplify it like this can. Does that make sense? And so important voices and messages, we amplify and we do everything we can to cause it to stimulate, to get your attention and to draw you in. Human voices. But God ain't like that. Though we expect him to be like that, because no one is bigger, better, more powerful than him. Amen. And you would think that knowing how big and great and mighty he is, that when he comes to you to speak, you would be like, I am God. But he doesn't. In fact, he'll speak to you in a way where very easily you could confuse it with another person. Wow. And that's why you have to learn to listen. The Bible says, what is it? Psalms 40. Let me look at my notes here. 46:10.
Amen.
You know that verse?
You still know that I am God.
Say it again.
You still know that I am God.
That's weird. Be still. You got to learn to be still. Why? Because God's voice, if you want to know it, is easy to overlook. I'm going slow here. Look, I don't know all the reasons why God does that, but I can tell you this. God won't compete with other insignificant voices. Not our great God. And if you just live a normal life, you've got all kinds of voices in your head and heart and mind and life. They're always coming at you, always trying to stimulate you, always trying to get a hold of your life, always trying to get your attention, always trying to capture your eyes. If you want to do something with your life, you're going to have to learn to identify that blessed voice that takes your life and makes you a Samuel. But it's easy to overlook. You confuse it with other voices, just like Samuel did. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. And they follow me. You know what that says? Listen. You know what that says? Jesus is speaking to his sheep.
Amen.
And he's ever present. He's always with you.
Amen.
So his voice is just right there. Just right there. He's always talking. If you don't hear him that often, it's not because he's not speaking. You might have too much noise in your life. You might be confusing it. Wives, you might be confusing it with the voice of your husband. But it's not your husband. Yeah, it's coming from your husband. But that might be God's voice. Wouldn't it be nice if I just left that part and didn't do the converse of that? Huh? Thank God for a godly wife.
Amen.
Who's been the voice of God in my life. I'm standing here today not because John Vaught is some great man. 11 years in ministry. I can't believe I'm still here. Brother Gray, I can't believe I'm still here. Let me tell you why I'm still here. I want to tell you why my kids actually still love me and want to be close to me. It's not because John Vaught is great. I'm telling you, it's because I've heard the voice of God and He's spoken to me in the times when I've desperately needed it.
Yes.
Times when I'm discouraged and I can't figure out why life is so hard and I don't want to go on anymore. I'm tired of people hurting, and I wonder, is my life, I found out, with honesty, I found out that midlife crisis, it's a real thing. I'm 20 and 30 years old, and I'm thinking, you bunch of old 40-year-old weaklings, just stand up and keep pressing forward. And then I come to my 40s, and I realize I've been doing the same thing. The same thing day in and day out. Is there any purpose to this? And life is hard and filled with misery. Kids filled with anguish that they never ask for. There's got to be something more to life than this. I'm so thankful that God came into my life and His voice tells me, child, I am the purpose. Get back up. There's work to do.
Amen.
And in the times when I've been discouraged, His voice comes to me. Oh, the precious voice of God has come to me and told me, child, you can do this, not from your strength. Look to me. Stop looking at them. Look at me. Stand back up. Keep moving forward. And it gave me just enough strength for the next day to be able to walk up and keep on trucking, baby.
Amen.
The times when I mess up, I'm so ashamed of myself. How could I think that? How could I do that? And Satan loves it. He's like, you're right. How can you do that? You name the name of Christ. Ready just to check out. And the voice of God comes. He said, child, this is not what I have for you. Turn from this. Look to me. Ask for forgiveness. I'll cleanse you. And stand back up, child. Stand back up. God, I did this though last week. I did this. I've been struggling with this for a year. Each day, I give new mercy and new grace. The voice of God. No one has helped me like the voice of God.
Amen.
You want to make it in life? Looking at these young men right here. Life's hard. There's so much potential. It's your only hope of truly being eternally successful. It's the voice of God. You've got to learn how to tune in. Learn how to tune in. Now, I'm going to... Good gracious. I'm in the close, which we're not too far away from. I want to give you about 4 or 5 principles that will help you hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Help you hear the voice of God. So learning, you're going to have to learn the voice of God. And I'm going to come back to that, and I'm going to close with that because it's so easy to overlook it. The second thing I want you to know about the voice of God is this. I want you to learn the plans of God's voice. Not just learn to listen to the voice of God or God's voice, but learn the plans of God's voice. Now, go back, look at verse number 11, would you please? And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm thinking about doing a thing in Israel. I was expecting far more protest than that. So I'm assuming maybe you weren't looking at the verse with me. So do you have your Bible? Is it open? Verse number 11, look at it. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm thinking about doing something in Israel. Please tell me what he said then. Hey, Samuel, I'm going to tell you what my plans are and what I will do. And ain't nobody, I know he didn't say it, but the JDV, John Dwayne Vaught Version Bible says, ain't nobody going to stop me. Verse 11, in that day I will perform against Eli. Verse 14, and therefore I have sworn into the house of Eli. God is letting Samuel know what he is going to do. And nobody's going to stop God. So if Samuel wants to thrive, then what he needs to do is make sure he understands the plans of God that he has already determined to do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
The Bible says in Isaiah that God's saying this, I am God. There's none else like me. I span the whole universe. Declaring the end from the, get this, declaring the end from the beginning. Do you know what that means? From the very beginning, God said, here's what will happen in the end. He's declaring the plans. From the ancient of times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. You cannot alter the plans of God. Look at me, please. Look at me. I want to see your eyeballs. You cannot alter the plans of God. You'll never change it. No politician will change the plans of God.
Amen.
No money will change the plans of God. You're not bribing God. You're not manipulating the plans of God. He's already told you what he's going to do with this church. He's told you what he's going to do with Israel. He's told you what he's going to do with his word. He's told you what he's going to do with anybody who invests in temporal things versus eternal things. He's already told you that. He's already told you his plans. He's already told you, whoa, how the world's going to end. He's already told you. He's already told you about a one-world religion, a one-world government, a one-world economy, and a antichrist that will have great power. He's already told what the plans will be and how it will end. And so you have a choice in the matter. Chris, thank you for sitting up here. I want to get your cell phone so I can give you a gift card. Hallelujah for that. Do you like Starbucks?
Sir.
But wait, hold on. Time out. Are you a Starbucks guy or are you a, what's the other coffee shop?
Dutch.
Are you a Dutch dude? You just got more money right there. You just got more money. Okay, we're having fun now. Go back to serious. Chris, you need to make sure that you learn how to hear God's voice.
Amen.
And a lot of that voice has already been recorded right here. And as you listen and learn to listen to God's voice, you need to learn his plans. Because here's what you need to understand. Nobody's changing his plans. And you have a choice that you'll either build your plans based on his plans or have his plans trample over your plans. Guaranteed success if you learn his plans and build your plans on his plans. Guaranteed success, because ain't nobody stopping them. Gonna have to be in tune with the voice of God. That's applicable to all the young people. That's applicable to old people, retired people, married people, single people, single moms, teenagers, everyone. Do you get in this book? You can't know his plans if you're not in this book. And the sad thing is, even if you're in church, you can still build your life and plans that don't align with his, that will end in vanity when you draw your last breath. Yeah. I'm just going to mention the last one so I can wind down. Learn the plans of God's voice. Third, learn to humbly declare God's voice. Here's what I mean by that. Just if you're going to learn to be in tune with God's voice, he's going to speak. He's going to give you plans and truth. But he's designed that truth to be told again. He learned about the plans that God has for Eli. You know what God was saying? You know what God's plans for Eli were? I'm going to take your life, Eli, and your son's life. God told those plans to a 12-year-old boy. Samuel knew. Hold on, listen. He goes to Eli 3 times. Hey, what'd you say, Master? Rabbi, what'd you say? Mm-hmm. I wasn't talking to you. What are you talking about? Go back to bed, boy. Hey, Rabbi, you called? No, I didn't call. Good gracious. I already have a hard time sleeping. Go back to bed, boy. Mm-hmm. Hear it a third time. Rabbi, you called. What? I'm here. I'm listening. And finally, Eli recognizes God. Samuel knows that in the morning Eli going to come to him and say, hey, did God speak again? Mm-hmm. Did he call you again? Mm-hmm. Huh. What did he say? Can you imagine a 12-year-old boy saying, sir, you'd like to know what God said? Well, that he was going to take you and your sons out. You know what Eli said? So be it. He knew he deserved it. And here's my point. Chris, what do you want to be when you grow up? We need that. Like more planes, I feel like crashing lately than ever. Please be a good one. You're going to be around people that are going to be in marriages and they feel stuck and hopeless. And they're not going to know what to do. They've tried everything. And they're going to need you to know the voice of God and the plans of God and be able to speak so they can have hope. Yes. You're going to be around people that are confused about their gender. Time out. But that's all they've known. Right. They never had a mommy and a daddy who went to church to teach them about that. What do you expect them to think? Don't be judgmental towards them. Yeah. You don't know what they've been taught all their life. I've told my kids that when they've been hard on that, I said, yeah, but you don't know what it's like to grow up where you're never taught about God or the ways of God. And if you were in their shoes, probably except for the grace of God, you would think the same thing. And how are they going to know? It's going to be somebody who knows the voice of God and knows the plans of God to give these people hope and help and encouragement. And sometimes that's going to be hard. But you can do it with grace. Amen. Just like Samuel did. Now, let me close. Will you do me a favor? This will help me if you come up to the piano. This will help me close. I'm going to give you just a few tips, and I'm just going to mention them very quickly about ways that you can be more in tune with God's voice. Ready? Very simple. Samuel, no, I didn't call you. I'm tired of you showing up in my room in the middle of the night. This is God. This is God speaking to you. So if this happens again, Samuel, here's what you're going to do. You're going to say, let me teach you how to respond to the voice. You ready for this? You're going to say this. Speak, because I'm ready to know what you can do for me. Did that seem wrong? Yeah. Apparently we need help. Mm-hmm. Okay? Apparently we need help. I closed my Bible because I was trying to help you be done. Mm-hmm. Verse 8, look at it. You didn't close your Bible, did you? You probably followed my example. Open your Bible back up. Verse number 8. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be that if he call, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy Probably one of the major reasons you can't hear the voice of God, because you're not really interested in serving Him. You want God to do for you and help you and do this and answer this prayer. You come before God. There's probably someone that needs to come before God tonight and just say, "Okay, God, I'm done planning my life out. What do you want?" And if you'll get to the place where you'll come to God as a servant instead of a consumer, it's amazing how crystal clear His voice becomes. Amen. Learn to be a servant. How you doing over there? You're just waiting. You want to be in tune with the voice of God? Do what you're doing tonight. Where was Samuel when he heard God's voice? House of God. Make your life about the house of God. Be in places where the house of God is prominent. Make your life about the house of God. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know that. Third, be around people who know the voice of God. Now, Eli wasn't a great man of God, but he knew the voice of God. And he taught Samuel how to listen. Please listen. Stop. Spend less time with the cool people. With the people that have the money. Successful people. Make friends with people who know God.
Amen.
And it's amazing how those people will be used of God to help you be more sensitive to the voice of God. Maybe one of the reasons why you have a hard time hearing the voice of God is you're around too many people who don't care about the voice of God.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Good. Amen. Just the last thing I'll say right here is build silence into your life. Amen. God spoke in the middle of the night. I don't think that's on purpose. Look here. I'm sure everyone's asleep. There's not even an iPhone to play white noise. I love my white noise. Silent. That's when God spoke. Build silence into your life. Because God won't compete with noise. Tonight I want to invite you to ask God to help you hear his voice more often, because he's always speaking.
Amen.
Always. I want to invite you tonight to have a confession before God. God, I need your voice more than anything else. Look here. A confession that the real hindrance to your success is not what you think it is. It's that you need more of the voice of God in your life. However the Lord's led, I'm going to invite you. Let's fill this altar and ask God to make us attentive to his voice. Father, I come before you tonight. Thank you for your